I want to take you to Philippians 2:25, and then I'll take you to our foundation scripture. Well, let's go to our foundation scripture. I'm sorry, but we'll go to Matthew 12:15-17. This is what got my attention to this direction. We're blessed as a house to have so many different carriers of maturity of Jesus. I believe that every person in our body that labors in any level carries the ministry of healing and miracles and capacity to pray. And we've got, ultra ministry prayer teams. There's the healing rooms. There's the sozo healing. There's the restoration ministry healing. There's the whole carrying of healing that any of the ministers and elders carry. So I felt the Lord really wanted to us activate that sound of healing and keep that alive. Because this is the scripture that pulled my attention. It's two part, the promise and the ones who received it. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So what caught my attention was followed him. And the Lord began to speak to me that he wanted to heal all who were following him. And then it brought me back to Epaphroditus, which is the scripture in Philippians 2:25. Because, if you follow the Lord, there's no guarantee. It's not like you're stepping into a greenhouse that you're going to be preserved and protected externally from all evil. In fact, the apostle said you're going to be passing through trials and tribulations to enter the kingdom. So it's kind of like the external can get very adverse. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul is speaking about Epaphroditus. He was somebody that was a part of the Philippian church. They knew him, but he had been there, sent there serving Paul, and he got sick. And I want to read this because he said, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." Powerful declarations over this man. "Since he was longing for you all, and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold much men in esteem." The picture before I close this is, this is the dysfunction of the church when it was meant to function in Ephesians 4, where every member's moving with an unhindered allowance of life flowing one to another through love and growing up into him who's ahead. Just like a natural body can get sick when something stops functioning in its design, and then it begins to put stress on other organs and other parts of the body, and the next thing you know, your body is going into a collapsing distress, a dis-ease. So in the body of Christ can happen. And so Paul is saying, I've been going through a lot of suffering. This is an issue that not only was Epaphroditus shown mercy, but I was shown mercy because I didn't have to go through the loss or the pain or the death of a friend. And I want now him to come and bring you joy, because if you come back into joy, I'll come up into another level of freedom from sorrow. We've got to see this. Everybody, whoever goes up, everybody goes up. Whoever gets healed, everybody gets healed. Whoever gets hurt, everybody gets hurt. Whoever gets persecuted, everybody's going down. Whoever goes into prison, we're all in prison with them. So we have to keep ourselves in love and completion mindset and not fear and competition. We're not on the water of Bethesda where only one person gets healed. We are in the ministry of Jesus where all he asks most of us is, do you want to be healed? Yeah. And it's accessible to all. So he says, verse 30, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death. not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. I felt this from the Lord. And again, this is a commendation, not a condemnation. There are many who will give more than they should, serve longer than they ought. You know, we do it in our families. There's somebody that will come along and go, you know, I'm just going to have to, work a little harder. You know, some of the other family members can't. I'm going to respond. We can do it at work. Some of us lay down our lives at work way beyond what we're, being paid for, contracted for, but we just don't have, we want to see the whole come up. And when we overextend for a length of time, we get sick. That's not a spiritual thing. It can be in the sense that we got a martyr syndrome and we don't think we can ever not do what we do. We have to have an awareness of our oil and where we are and where's our point. And you know, we get sick because we don't sleep well or sleep enough. We get sick because we don't eat well. We can get sick because we don't exercise. We can get sick because somebody coughed on us. And germs were spread. I mean, there's just multiple things happening. And we can get sick because we just keep going and feel the need to have to go. And Paul acknowledged that he was actually supplying what was lacking in your service toward me. So stepping out away from the Ephesians 4, 15, and 16 model. In fact, maybe we can go over to that. Ephesians 4, 15, and 16. Epaphroditus was recognizing, well, Apostle Paul, he's in a Roman prison. He's got guards, but he's got limitations. But he's got so much he's got to get forward, and I've got to help him. And he's just working and working. He was a gift from the Philippian church as they sent him, but now he's just extending himself past this point. And so he gets sick. The Philippian church is now sad. Paul's sad, but God raises him up. And Epaphroditus feels like I need to bring back a good report that I'm okay. So. This is the image that the church was designed. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined together by what every joint supplies. So we're joined together by a life flow. We're joined together. It's like, you know how like in the Ezekiel vision of the dry bones. The bones all came together. The sinew came together. The skin, but there was no life flowing. So we're joined together by what every joint supplies. So when we purposely release life, when we purposely receive life, when we purposely bless someone, when we purposely receive blessing, when we hear someone prophesy and we go, yes, when we read the scripture and we go, yes, we're letting life flow. What happens, Jesus said, is if we stop abiding in him, we become like burnt dead sticks and people pick us up and put us in fires. So a lot of the ability to determine how well you are in your abiding is how well are you burning, and not in a good way. If you're always burnt out, then there's something that's been distressed to a point where it needs to be refreshed again. Do you follow me? And Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it up, but no man takes it from me. So the me ministry we have to be responsible for is, what do I need with Jesus in order to be able to give my life away versus having it taken from me? You know the difference, right? Yeah. You ever felt like when what you started as a gift is now something being abused? Something you wanted to do, now you have to do? Now, in the kingdom, the problem is, for most of us, we get to that point where we go, can't go on, and we go, I'm out. Forget it. I'm not doing this anymore. It's unhealthy, which is sometimes the best thing we can do. But if we fail to recollect ourselves in Jesus, then we will never be able to re-give again. And if we can't re-give, we won't relive. We will just dry up. And then we'll be basically at the mercy of someone else's using us. And that's where the sticks are tossed into the fire and burnt. That's all in John 15. So while we allow life to flow and we let it begin to grow and every part does its share, it causes the growth of the body, edifying itself in love. It'll never be perfect. Just like your body, there are some days your kidneys are a lot more demand placed on them than other days. There's some days that you have to work long hours and you don't get the sleep you need. And there's other days you want to find the sleep to repair the part of your body. So it's never like a robot. It's more like an organic movement. And each of us as members are kind of holding ourselves in a place of, first and foremost, I must have a relationship with Jesus. I must, and not that I'm saved. That's where I begin. I must have an abiding time. I must connect. I must get that fountain flowing. I got to get the believing going. I got to get the bubbling up experience. I got to taste the everlasting life that starts flowing out of my being. I got to be a river flowing. That's why whenever I come to church, I don't care what state I'm in, I am engaging myself into the service, because I am anticipating that in the engaging of the service, singing the songs that are being sung, that I will have an encounter with Jesus. And when I have that encounter with Jesus, something always wonderful happens. He will take from me that which is old, and he'll give to me that which is new. He'll take my dis-ease and give me his rest. So the intentionality, it's the same thing in prayer. When I go to pray, there were years that I would fight to try to feel good. Instead, I've learned that I start with what Christ has accomplished and then believe what he has said. I quickly feel good. I don't have to resolve a lot of things because they've already been resolved. I just have to believe what he's already said. But it takes time. The first time you have to take your Bible and go, where would I want to read anyway? I mean, you know. Let's see. Judas hung himself. No, thank you. Go and do likewise. No. Russian roulette. Sometimes you get a really incredible word, but truly God is having a conversation with you. He has something he's telling you, something he's revealing, something he's bringing transformation, some life he's trying to release, some things he's trying to let go. He doesn't change a subject from day to day. He usually builds on something for seasons, weeks, months, maybe years. We are learning him. It's every spiritual experience must find its way to Scripture, because Scripture is how we hold whatever we receive. And every scripture that we receive must lead us to Jesus, because Jesus is what the scriptures are all about. So if what I read doesn't lead me to Jesus, then it's not worth interpreting it the way I'm reading it. And if the Jesus experience I have doesn't lead me into the Bible, then it won't be able to be something I keep when the devil comes to test it. And every day I cycle. Every day I do it. And sometimes you just have the most enjoyable times. Sometimes you have the most like dead times. But if you practice it, you begin to build a place. You begin to open a fountain. You begin to get a river. And over time, you'll be one who's being influenced by Holy Spirit and carrying the influence of Holy Spirit. And you'll be one who has the ability to stir yourself up or to pull out of the gift. Or the prophecies that were given to you from a time in the past, you can pull them into the future to wage the war that's saying to you, you have no future and you're not going anywhere. You see, the entire Christian experience starts with you. You're in charge of the revival in America. Your heart being revived. You're in charge of the prayer movement in all of the world. Your heart being moved toward God. If you stop that little, what seems to be inconsequential, why would it matter if I get up, or why would it matter if I spend some time and have quality and get to a place where my life is filled with joy from a relationship that I'm having in Jesus Christ? Because once you start to die, we all start to die. And then if we do a meeting, we have to make it like a big, you know, it's like we have to go external. Let's get everybody on, you know, externally having the same experience so that we can all feel like we're up on a level. And for too long, we got stuck there. And it's wonderful when the water just comes up and we are all, you know, our boats are all floating. But the only way those waters ever get up that high and float is because a bunch of wells broke open. A bunch of people who found the Lord and pressed in until they had the Lord and they were living in the Lord. And all of a sudden God says, okay, I've got the critical mass that I need. I've got my 120. Let's add 3,000. I won't lose the experience. I will secure it. Because that 120 will move not just from baptized in the Holy Spirit, but to baptizers in the water. And they'll all of them, each of them baptize, 70, 80 people that day. And then they'll keep going into that experience and they'll keep pondering the things that are being said. They'll be gathering together to eat, to pray, and to fellowship, and to hear the apostles' doctrine, and they'll press in. God knows when we're ready for that. But it starts with us individually going, I just feel like I'm supposed to press through. Now, let me just jump right to the end, because I think the Holy Spirit's just jumping right over all my notes. James 5. Let's go to James 5. You see, you carry everything you need because you carry Christ. And if Christ can be activated by faith, Jesus dwells in our heart, then we soon will have the experience of the power and strength of the glory coming to our inner man. And next thing you know, we are abounding in love, and we are passing love to others, and we are drinking of love. What makes a body go into disease is when one member of the body or cell of our physical body starts to demand others to do its own job. Starts to take from others because it's no longer functioning in its proper order. And then everybody's having to work harder and work. And what begins healing is when we can each step, whatever member of the body begins to be regenerated and renewed. Like here, for instance, let me give you a trick about healing. Talk nice to your body. Tell your body you're really happy with it. Thank your body for carting you around all these years. That's what your body is, just a mobile tent. It's a motorhome. You have a motorhome and your body takes you around, and some of us have not been very nice to our motorhome. So we start with gratitude. Thank you so very much that you keep running no matter what I put in you. Whatever. Change your disposition, because if we talk, if we speak, because our mouth directs the life force or the lack of it, we then frustrate the very effort of God's desire to bring healing. So when you notice you need healing, start speaking nice to the area you need healing in, and recognize, wow, we're going to send some help to you in the name of Jesus. Now, let's go to James 5 5:13. Oh, no, let's back up, since this is the end of the service. Just see this, because this is really for us. This is like activating the power to be healed in Christ in our faith. Let's go verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So whatever harvest we're longing for, we need the early and the latter. We need to stay in a faith engagement with patience. Also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Always read the scriptures, not spastic thought. So if you're going to hold yourself in patience, expecting with the anticipation of the Lord Jesus coming, if you wonder if you are in that posture of ready to receive him, check how you're talking about each other. The first sign of the lack of patience is your grumbling, because there's no longer the sense of the coming, And then if we grumble, then we get into the very condemnation that we're grumbling over, and then we're just under a kind of like, I don't really want him to come because I don't know what I want to do with that. And so it's just an easy way to turn around. Brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them all blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. You've seen the end intended of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. In Job's encounter, he gets double for his trouble. So let's all claim at least double for the trouble. Whatever you're going through, claim the outcome is intended of the Lord, is that I will see at least double. Some it'll be 30, 60, or 100-fold. You see, the war is over. God is good. the war is over our worship over that God is good, and then our trust, and wants to disconnect us so that we dry up and turn into a stick and get thrown into the fire. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Don't try to project yourself into your future. Don't make these vows to wow. Don't try to get yourself like, I'm just going to, you know, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to, you know, run 5 miles and I'm going to just eat a healthy meal and I'm going to go over to the gym afterwards and I'm going to read my Bible for 3 hours and pray. Don't project yourself. Just start with the baby steps. Baby steps. Everything begins with a baby step. What baby step can I or should I, am I being invited to try? And then just do the one baby step until the next baby step comes. And over a while, you have developed a whole new pattern, rhythm. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Okay, so notice immediately as a member of the body of Jesus Christ, if you find yourself in a non-desirable place that we will call suffering, who is response? What is our first response? Prayer. Suffering goes up, prayer's got to go up. Suffering goes up, prayer's got to go up. Suffering's got to go up, prayer's got to go up. Because prayer is the access way to the comfort, the support, the life that we are longing for, that the suffering is denying us of. Do you follow me? So it's kind of like you can tell, okay, life is really starting to go downhill. You probably, there's a call to a higher level of prayer, more prayer. And not prayer that's, you know, just conversation. Start with, Lord, where's going on? What do we do? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. See, give God the praise for the good things is just as important as to go into prayer in the bad things. That's how your body responds. You respond into wholeness in the midst of unhealthiness. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I didn't get any oil for everybody today. And would have probably been I wasn't sure that this would be where the Lord would land, but it is. See, when I find myself in distress, I have the point to go to those in the body who carry a place that they have gained through their testing and trials and faith and growth, and ask them to pray over me. And just as the hand laying on hands is a point of contact, oil is a point of contact. And that simple act of anointing them with oil and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, let me tell you two wonderful things today. The prayer of faith is not asking Jesus to heal anybody. There is no, the prayer of faith is commanding healing in Jesus' name. It's giving to someone. It's like a doctor giving you an antibiotic. Well, nowadays, unfortunately, there's so much upheaval in the world of you don't tend to give somebody medicine and say, we hope this will work. In Jesus' name is faith, and in his name is the healing that we are releasing, and we're giving away something that is in Jesus. And it's not a question, Jesus, do you want to heal this person? Now, we may have a bunch of mix-ups of connection points that have to start off at one place or another to go, Lord, why am I like this? What's going on? And we think it's this, and God's over here saying, no, it's over here. Does that make sense? So I can't say that when God starts to move, he goes to the outcome we're longing for, but he goes to the source that's causing the real problem. And so even that's a part of discernment. When you go, wow, they were praying for me to be healing, and all I kept feeling was like this picture of going to bed early tonight. That's weird. Maybe it's a word of knowledge for you, a word of wisdom coming. Now, for us to go and say, everybody, you got to go to bed an hour early today, that would be just stupid, because it would be just like blanketing something as a simple idea when it's not for everybody. Some of us got to stay up later because we got to press in and discover or finish or complete something. So it's But in the midst of the prayer for faith, God will begin to raise them up, heal them, save the sick, raise them up, save the sick, raise them up. So we will expect today when we pray that God will save the sick and raise us up. And if they've committed sins, they will be forgiven. So if there's some issue that we don't understand or somebody else doesn't know or somebody cursed somebody or somebody, you know, did this or didn't do that, it's just going to be dismissed. And we can receive, like fresh new living cells would receive the design and the response that they were made to enter into. Isn't that cool? Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. See, again, sometimes some of the stuff that gets lodged in our being is our soul and our sorrow and our shame and everything else that gets caught up in there. And we just need to sometimes just say, here's the honest truth of how I'm really doing. And somebody goes, wow, that's cool. Let me pray for you. Not counsel you. Let's just pray. See, there's so much exchange that takes place in the life of prayer that we haven't yet, I think, taken advantage of. And yet God wants to just release everybody. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed for one, and he prayed earnestly it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Some of us have prayed ourselves into the season God ordained for us. Now we got to pray ourselves out of the season we're in. Do you understand? Yes. He prayed to shut the heaven. You would have think, well, it just had a time lapse, and it would have. No, he had to pray to open the heaven. We pray ourselves into where we are. Now we have to pray ourselves out of where we are. Again, the personal responsibility begins with us, with me, for me. Then there gets the corporate movement, and we can begin to say, let's just disengage this. Let's just flush the body. Let's have a good bowel movement. Get rid of some junk. Disengage the soul. Get rid of bad thoughts, destructive mindsets. Let's just purge. And God can do that. You know what we call that? Repentance. Everybody's going around going, whoa, I never saw it like I see it now. I see it for what it is. And I couldn't see it before because I couldn't see it, but now I see it. That's all repentance is. That's like a massive liberation of the thoughts. So why not? It happens every day when you pray, when you practice prayer. This is what's happening when you pray. Jesus is communicating himself, salvation, and you are experiencing his salvation in little teeny ways and major big ways, big promises for the future, little help for the moment. All that's happening. And when we all get healthy, then the body starts just growing up into itself. But we all are not at the same level, and so some of us are working too hard, and others are not working enough, and Jesus is trying to just come in, reawaken, and we find ourselves diseased. We find ourselves, you know, distressed. And I believe today that Jesus just would like to release the command of health. Just release the command of health. Just... You know, it doesn't matter how you got here, Jesus wants to heal you. It doesn't matter what you did or didn't do, Jesus is just going to heal you. And we can receive it as save the sick, raise us up, forgive our sins, disengage us from bad thoughts and destructive mindsets, and bring us into a place of a new open heaven. How many would it receive that? Yeah. Okay, so let's if we can get the all these prayer ministries I contacted and the teams, if you guys will come up the front for me, and we get some of the worship team back up, we're going to just open up what would be a place for hands to be laid on. And while that is happening, take a moment yourself and just think about, Jesus, where am I in dis-ease? Where is the lack of ease, the lack of pleasure, freedom, enjoyment? It doesn't have to be physical. It could be just mental. It could be emotional. It could be financial. God said that he would be prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Deborah and Lily, you guys come help pray. I can, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so, if you'll close your eyes, this will help. Close your eyes so you're not watching what's going on up here, but start watching what's going on inside. And start with the beginning connect of Jesus. Jesus, you are my Savior, my Lord, my healer, my deliverer. Say that. Jesus, you are my Savior, my Lord, my healer, my deliverer. You're my Savior, my Lord, my healer, my deliverer. Jesus, you're my Savior, my Lord, my healer, my deliverer. Just take a moment to meditate on Jesus. I'm going to ask Larry to make a declaration of healing, of prayer of faith, to command healing to flow to every part of our body, every emotional outlet, every physical, financial situation, as a blanket declaration of Christ's lordship and victory, just as we confess. He's our healer, our deliverer, our salvation, our Lord. And we're going to receive it. And then once that happens, and everyone's welcome to come up for prayer, to stay in their seats in prayer and praise, or go out into your day with assurance that that declaration is yours. So can we all stand together while Larry gets ready, and then let this declaration become the prayer of faith that raises us up, save the sick, forgive our sins. Jesus. Jesus. You are our all in all. You're the Savior, Lord, healer, deliverer. You made us. You repair us and make us new today. Every part of our bodies, physical body, I speak life and healing, restoration and newness, new livers, new eyes, new hearts, new kidneys, new parts, new body parts. You say, behold, I make all things new. We declare it is new today. I don't care what doctors have said. You are new. You are new. You are new in Jesus' name. Every heartache, every broken heart, every emotional problem, I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone now. Jesus, make a brand new heart. Yeah. He heals the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Every emotional issue. I speak life,
come on,
liberty.
Yeah. Come on.
And Jesus said, I will never leave you. My pastor said, never, never, never leave you. I will never leave you. You are mine. I hold you to my heart. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand because I am greater than all.
Yeah.
You are beloved. Beloved. You're never rejected. He that comes to Jesus shall never be cast away.
Come on. Yeah.
Father, we declare the goodness of God over everyone's soul today. The soul of man. The soul is to rejoice in Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you fill us with your love. Fill us with your power. Fill us with the healing virtue that flows from you through Holy Spirit to us and from us.
Yeah.
Lord, it's not just about us. It is about you in us and through us. So if we want to be healed, go heal somebody. If you want to love, go love somebody. If you want grace, give grace to someone. And forgiveness. Forgiveness. I speak forgiveness. It says, whosoever sins you to pray, you forgive, they will be forgiven. I forgive you all in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I forgive everyone that is here.
Yes.
Everyone on the internet. I forgive you in Jesus' name. Now you forgive. You forget those that offended you. You forget that husband. You forget that wife. You forget that father and mother. You forget that child.
Yeah.
Forgiveness sets you free.
And those that are set free by Jesus are free indeed. We declare today we are free. We are not bound. We are free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you. We are free. We are healed. We are saved. We are delivered. And we are free. Everybody say, I am free.
I am free.
Again, I am free.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
yes, you. Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Come on up. Come receive your miracle. Receive the touch. In a moment, I'm going to address people online, so don't turn off yet. I want to speak to those online. But let's get them. Come on up. Let's worship. Fill you where you are, whether you're watching at a later date or whether you're right now with us live. The Spirit of God comes, the Holy One, glory, the name of Jesus. I declare to you today that in Jesus' name you are whole. You are made whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name you are healed from the top of your head, soles of your feet, the very life force of the resurrection power of Holy Spirit that was present at the resurrection of the Lord now comes into your mortal body and literally transforms every cell and reconfigures it back to health and wholeness. You are healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. And where you are in distress, you come into rest. Where you're in dis-ease, you come into His ease. You're made whole. Now just receive it. Put your hand on your body where you're hurting, where you need the touch, and just say, Lord, I command that. I agree with that prayer. I agree with the prayer of faith. And so I say, body, you're a good body. Respond again to the resurrection life. Come forth into God's glory. Come forth and rise up again and live the place you were called to live. Enjoy the life you were given to enjoy. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we declare this. It's yours. Receive it now. In Jesus' name. Marilyn, it is yours now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Let that touch of life just erupt like light dawning in a dark place, like a morning star, like the day rising, as life flooding your very being. There are things that have occurred, that are betrayals that have taken place, just now to a larger picture of people. The Lord is turning the betrayal into a door of hope, into a new identity of sonship to you. You won't be living in that servant mind, calling God master. You will call Him your husband. He's coming with a sound of forgiveness. Says, would you release that person or those people? Will you just cancel the debt forever? Will you never bring it up unless it's to release them even further? Will you not seek to be repaid, but to instead to allow them to go forward? I will bring a new design to your mind. You will not be a slave. You will live a son. You will live with the access to the inheritance of your Father. I'm breaking the mindset of slavery. That's why betrayal often will lead to either further slavery or greater liberty. And I'm bringing liberty to you today. You will no longer live in that place of betrayal. Thank you. That's yours. Take it. Receive it. Lord has you engaged in His presence, whether in our sanctuary or if we're still online, I don't know. But pull. Sometimes the anointing is like taking a big drink out of a thick malt or shake. You know, you ever had one of those and you have to suck so hard to get that thick ice cream up the straw and into your mouth. It's just we draw. We pull, we believe, we receive. And then sometimes by faith, we have to just kind of step into, immerse ourselves, like stepping into water. We step by faith into the glory, and we let the glory, now that we're inside the glory, we say, glory, do what you carry. You carry health and healing and wealth and liberty, new thoughts and new ideas. And we just stay there. Sometimes it feels like sitting inside a big jacuzzi, a warm tub, a hot tub. We soften after a hard day of work, our muscles relax and we begin to recalibrate. Other times it's cool and it's refreshing and renewing. And oh, it's just like coming out of a hot, deserty experience, we walk into a fresh, cool spring. Step in, drink, pull, drink, drink. Let your thirst determine your output. Let your thirst determine your input, I should say. What? How much do you want? Receive, receive.
You turn my bitter into sweet.
And here we go.
Lord, you are my passion.
Oh, Jesus, keep coming. Pour
and
out,
you're
pour
rising
out.
Up pour in
out.
Me.
Pour out.
You are filling up my hunger.
Come on, more. More. Just more. Yes, you are.
Creator God, you are Yahweh. The great I am, you are Yahweh. The Lord of all, you are Yahweh. Lord, you are Yahweh. The shepherd, you are Yahweh. The righteous son, you are Yahweh. The three in one, you are Yahweh.
Those of you still needing to be prayed for, stay in line or wait for someone. Anybody need oil? We have fresh oil from Israel. Hallelujah. Yes, pull. People are being healed right now where we're standing. There's transference of life. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to our mortal body, coming out of the glory realm, bringing us, strengthening us with might through his spirit in our inner man. There's infusion of new life. New strength. It's in actually igniting a new prayer life in you. There's a new prayer life that's in launching that's going to be different than any prayer life you've had before. This is the resurrection life prayer that's coming, the undoing of the last season in the new prayer. It's undoing the last season in the new prayer. It's where the heavens were shut, now they're opening because you're praying again. It's undoing the last season. God is undoing the last season in the new prayer. It's a new anointing of resurrection life prayer. Yes, it's here. It's here now for every one of us. Online, in line, online. Here we are. Yes. Whoa.
Creator God, you are Yahweh. The great I am, you are Yahweh. The Lord of all. Rose of Sharon, you are Yahweh.
reach you. I'm the one who holds you in my hands. I'm the one who carries all that concerns you. Yes, I am. I'm the one who carries you. I hold you in my hand. I'm the one who carries all that concerns you. Yes, I am. I'm the one who carries you. I hold you in my hand. I'm the one who carries all that concerns you. I hold you in my hand. Yes, I am.
Refresh.